Hello, this is Father Schnurderman. So welcome to Coptic Voice Radio, proudly brought to you by the Coptic Gulf, Dicini and the Philat Regions. And today we are going to talk about God talks to us. Now, I want to ask you, how does God talk to us? In a gospel reflection today about the Holy Family fleeing to Egypt, how did God speak to Joseph and told Joseph, you need to take your family and flee into Egypt? We have about a number of topics. The first topic is titled, Listening to the Voice of God. How do we listen to the voice of God? Our second title, Spiritual Planning and Strategy. What is meant by spiritual planning and strategy for 2017? The third topic we have is Epiphany, God revealing himself to us. How did God reveal himself to the whole world at the Feast of Epiphany? The fourth topic we're talking today, we'll be talking about family love. How does one love his family, your spouse, your children, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your cousins, your aunts? And do you know who is Saint Sylvester of Rome? Yeah, the Desert Fathers. And did you know? Well, we got truly a packed program today. Stay tuned. We're going to have a beautiful short break of beautiful music and come back straight into the Gospel of St. Matthew, reading from chapter 2, from verse 13 to verse 23.
What a beautiful noise coming up from the seas. Got a beautiful sound. It's got a beautiful beat. It's a beautiful noise going on everywhere, like the clickety-clack of a train on a track. It's got a rhythm to spare. It's a beautiful noise, a sound that I love, and it fits me as well as a hand in a glove. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. What a beautiful noise coming up from the park. It's the sound of the kids, and it plays until dawn. It's the sound of the cars on their furious flights. There's even romance in the way that they dance to the beat of the lights. It's a beautiful noise, sound that I love, and it fits me as well as a hand in a glove. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. What a beautiful noise.
Now we're ready for our gospel reflection. Turning to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, verse 13 to verse 23. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he went forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he rose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that he might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Glory be God, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. God spoke to Joseph in a dream. So God speaks to us in different ways, but we need to have the sensitive ear to respond to God's calling us. In this case, Joseph took immediately the Holy Family, the Virgin Mary and the child Jesus, and fled to Egypt. He didn't ask why, didn't ask how, but overnight, as though that they packed everything and went without hesitation. Wow. How beautiful it is to have that sensitive ear. How beautiful it is to understand that actually God is speaking to me and asking me to do those things. And I just quickly respond without even thinking about it. Here, Joseph twice sees these beautiful visions, and the Lord, as though that it was really so vividly in his mind, is to go and pack. And twice he did this. Once in Jerusalem, and a second time returning back, not to where he was before, but where to Nazareth. I wonder, my friend, how can you respond to God's voice in your life? Do you understand how God talks to you? Do you understand how God knocks at your heart? Do you understand that God enters your heart, your home, your workplace? Do you know that God actually literally walks beside you? He sends his angel next to you and says very clearly, My son, I love you. My daughter, I love you. Richard, what are your reflection on this passage?
Well, it's not what really amazes me is that it's not just the visions, but the faith that he had to go on those visions, to believe those visions and go with them. To be honest, in this day and age, if someone was to say to me, oh, I saw an angel in my dream and they told me something, like, what drugs are you on? And so the faith in that is amazing, and I wish I had that kind of faith. And we were talking about this last year, about how we can hear God in our lives, how we can respond to Him and how He talks to us. And a lot of the things that came up was He speaks to us through the Bible. And that is true. And there was a book that we talked about, and
some time ago, yeah.
Yeah. And so a lot of the answers is that it's the Bible. But I also believe that it's individuals. It depends. Some people hear God and respond to God in different ways. Some people actually hear Him, like, have a normal conversation through prayer, just as if He's right there in front of them and just talking to them. And then there's others that hear Him in praise and worship songs. And so it depends. And in saying that, I think if the main aspect is actually having a relationship with God, is actually truly having a relationship with God. And I think that's something that we should bring up another day or something, is how do we have a relationship with God?
It sounds for another program for another day, Richard. But I'm really impressed with the choice of words. And that aspect, by the way, saying that how we are able to know. I could be speaking to you, but it could be the course of the day that I ask God for a certain problem. And just talking to you just generally, one may feel that God is actually talking. Richard might be talking, but I feel that God is actually talking. This is the sensitive ear that we need to develop, the sensitive heart to develop, meaning that our interaction with everyone, it could be a small child, could be an adult, could be whoever it might be. It is something unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, Richard, I could see that you are, hey, I want to respond.
Eager to respond to what you're saying. So what you were saying was, so certain people could be the answer that you're getting from God, or the voice of God to you.
That's why you should be listening always to Mary, and I hope Mary is listening to you on this one.
All right, so this has actually got to do with Mary. It really does. So,
oh, by the way, Mary is his fiancée, just in case. Who is Mary?
Yeah, my lovely fiance,
gorgeous woman. God bless her for you, Richard. Absolutely,
thank you so much, Father. My point is that I'm always praying for strength. I'm always praying for wisdom, and I'm always praying for patience.
Amen.
And in multiple occasions, and throughout the last 6 years of being with Mary, she has been my strength, and she has been my wisdom.
Amen.
So, and I'm always trying to say, and like, in my mind a bit, it's like, well, how does a person become, the strength? Shouldn't God be my strength? But God is the strength by sending you people to give you strength as well. So that's how I look at it. So when you were saying that, it just made a lot of sense to me.
And on that note, we shall have a short break. And because of Mary, and shows you how beautiful it is, I can't find a sweet Mary, but I'm going to have sweet Caroline, just in order to show appreciation for Mary, how much Mary means to us. And there is sweet Caroline. And after the short break, we'll come back and talk about how God talks to us.
Where it began, I can't begin to know, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? And touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Warm, touching warm, reaching out, touching me, touching me.
Yeah, Sweet Caroline, Neil Diamond. Now we're talking about listening to the voice of God. And I guess the question lies, God actually talked to us constantly. What are the things that makes me listen to the voice of God? I guess we can look at some points, and I'd really love Richard to respond to some of these points, and we'll build on this one. To have an effective ear, mean to say, a sensitive ear, a sensitive heart, repentive heart, a godly heart, a heart that hears the voice of God. We might listen to the voice of God through people, through nature, through a young child, maybe through a TV commercial, a TV movie, maybe through a book. So there are many, many ways that I could be listening to the voice of God, to the point I may be asking God the following. That is, God, do you really love me? And then you find yourself, someone picks up the voice, a telephone, and hear all of a sudden that actually God is actually listening to you. Now, I guess the problem here that I need to listen to that voice God sends to me by different means. You know, when we look at some writings, voice to the voiceless and this and that. So actually it means God is talking to me. Nature talks to me. The bird talks to me. And even the birds, beautiful sound of music and so forth. God is saying to me, man, good morning. When the sun is setting, man, have a great evening. When the stars are shining in the sky, man, have a great night and good night. God is actually talking to us. Richard.
Yeah, Father.
What do you think?
Well, I definitely agree with the statement that God talks to us in different ways and means. And I have, to be honest, I haven't thought about, you know, the birds and the skies and the stars like that before. So when you said it, it kind of opened my eyes to it. And so I think that's a very good analogy. In the means of, you were saying before that, you know, God hears us and we got to try and hear him. God is always listening to us. We don't have to try and find a certain verse, find a certain thing to try and send to him or in a certain way. It's his always listening. And, you know, you say a little prayer in the morning of like, you know, God help me, God give me strength, and he's listening. The only difficult part is us hearing his voice back. And that part is where we were talking about it, but in the previous segment, is where it comes in different ways and different means. And, you know, as you said, it could be in a movie, it could be in a music, it could be in a book, it could be in just a person speaking to you. It's when something, to me, it's when you get a clear answer about something, and it's you're troubled about something, and you get a moment of relief. Where did that moment of relief come from? Where you get, like, when you finally just kind of like, if you're having like talking to your friend and be like, oh, I'm struggling with this, and they say something and you get, oh, that actually makes sense, and you kind of get a bit of relief. That's God talking to you. That's how I feel about it, because that person just said the right words to get you in the right mindset and to give you that perspective on things, to give you that relief.
In I tell you something, Richard, you've asked a very important question. In answer to that important question, one has to believe, and you made a point in the previous segment about having that faith. Mm. You have to believe that actually God is speaking to you. Not the young child, not the fruit. And if you did ask something in prayer, God actually talked to you. For example, let's give us an example, a practical example. I want to go, listeners, listen to this. I want to have a new car loan. You know, have a loan for a car, for a home. My income is this. And I went to buy a car. And I, Lord, do you really want me to buy this car or not? I like the car. You know, I know I like the car, Lord, but this car good for us, for the family and so forth. I'll go to the car dealer and go through the bank loan and all details. And then the car dealer or the bank, sorry, you are over, you know, you don't have the capacity to service the loan. The Father sends a message to us, to say what? That it is too difficult. You're going to put yourself in a predicament if you took that loan. So one of two things. Do we listen to that voice?
Or do we take it as a negative?
Or we take it as negative and trying to find someone else. I strongly feel, take that as what? As a the voice of God saying to you, wait on, and wait on and see what we can do on through. No different to say, you know, you got a car for trading. You anticipate you're going to get a certain money for that car. All of a sudden, it's giving you, a small trading. So listen, I can't afford the car. I'm going to put food on the table, then buy this car. So God's saying to you, hold on, man. the time's not right for you to buy a car. So one has to really have that sensitive ear, the sensitive heart, to really believe by faith the Father is talking to you as though a father to a son or father to a daughter.
Mm.
That requires what?
Faith.
Faith. And because you asked, God had responded. Because you asked in faith, God has responded. And my friend, this is the walk of faith. Now, having a walk of faith, we need to have some strategy and planning. And that is our title for our next segment. But enjoy this beautiful short music, and we'll go right back into a program titled Strategy and Planning for 2017. That is spiritual strategy and spiritual planning. Awesome. Welcome back to Coptic Voice Radio. This is Father Schnuder Mansell. This segment, we want to talk about spiritual planning strategy. In business, they talk about strategy, planning, short-term goals, mid-term goals, long-term goals. And now I ask you, what's the strategy for 2017? No. And even if you're doing a PhD, asking, what's the strategy for the next 6 months? Starting university, what's the strategy for you to study? So obviously, it talks about, and I want to put this aspect of spiritual planning and strategy. For example, let's take some points. The first point, pattern of prayer. Schedule for readings. Time for quiet reflection. Understanding the patterns when you fall into sin. Time to physically talk to God. Time for a sitting with your confession, Father. Attending spiritual meetings, such as a Bible study, a conference, liturgical sacraments, partaking of the Eucharist. And I guess it goes on and on and on. So, what is your spiritual plan and strategy for 2017? Richard, what are your thoughts on this spiritual planning and strategy? Business talks about it, and wherever you go, and you know, even for example, looking at your review, oh, Richard, what's your strategy for 2017? And then they put you on the spot, and you haven't thought about it, but you know,
not at all,
And it's something that we're on. What is our spiritual planning and strategy for 2017?
Well, to be honest, I actually haven't heard of spiritual planning before. I didn't have the idea before me.
Sounds like work, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does.
It knocked me out just the other day.
Yeah, Father, it's the spiritual planning, I guess, in my mind, is a really good idea, because the way I look at it is that it's good versus evil, and it's like darkness versus light. When you're trying to plan when you plan to have readings, when you plan to go to the meetings, to read the Bible, to have prayer moments and plan that throughout your day, it's kind of like counteracting what society is kind of delivering, or the badness of society is coming onto you. So I find myself that if I'm constantly faced with negativity, with just constant swearing, sexual behavior, everything that's around me in society, it will affect a person and how they think and how they react to certain things. But if I'm counteracting that in my times, in my prayers, in scheduling those times and those meetings, then I think that would be a lot more helpful to stay on track, to stay in the Christian mentality and be the word isn't coming to me right now, but it's
helping us
good.
Keep us focus.
Yes, focused.
It's
yes.
Focus. I mean, I even a football coach in saying, well, this is what we need to do. A strategy for this game. And each game has a different strategy because each team that they play against has different strengths and weaknesses. So the strategy must change. And now the point of example, you know, if I fall into certain weakness, I must look at the pattern. When I fall, how I fall, why I fall. That way I can correct myself, sit down myself with God, and go to my father confession and, you know, get some word advice. That's the whole point of the idea of, you know, the planning and spiritual planning and strategy. That way, how I can go forward. You know, I love when off air you said that, we need, you know, that aspect of relationship with God. And that turns that through, that planning our spiritual life on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, having those focus for the whole year. For example, someone's asking me, was saying to me, and I was saying to them, well, listen, just reading the scriptures, if it takes you 1 year to finish the Bible, 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, it's irrelevant. But the most important part is to have that word of God to live in your life and effectively changing your whole life. Maria, what are your reflection on this?
Yes.
I love the word yes. Go on, tell me.
Okay. I was just thinking, you know, like planning and stuff is really good and important. But I think that it's also important not to get too stressed out or anxious or overwhelmed by whatever it is you plan. So, for example, like if it's, you know, reading the Bible more regularly or whatever, if you're going to plan that out, you know, don't try and start out with reading the entire Bible in a year and feel really good about it because you've set up this really cool plan that you found on the internet with Bible passages for every day of the year. I think that that's a bit ambitious. So I think that you need to be realistic when you're planning and also very honest with where you are in your relationship with God and what you can do. Like, are you going to be able to pray for 3 hours, you know, the first time you start your new spiritual plan? Or is it more realistic to say that, you know, every day for the next month, I'm going to pray the Our Father before I go to bed. You know, like it's, you know, if you set really ambitious plans, then when you don't meet them, you know, I find this with myself all the time. Like I think crazy things, and then when I can't do whatever it is that I've put in my head, I get disappointed and annoyed with myself, and then it just reverses the good intention that you had in the beginning. So I think it's important to just be honest with yourself and, you know, you don't have to turn into a hermit, you know, the next day. You can just get where you need to get eventually.
And that's a very important point. Keep it simple. Keep it basic. And I tell people, you're not a monk to be doing A, B, and C, just like Maria just said, note it through. And I thank you for that note. On that note, we shall have a short break and come back and talk about Epiphany, God revealing to us. Welcome back to Coptic Voice Radio. This is Father Shmuel Mansell. On this segment, we'll be talking about Epiphany. What is Epiphany? Epiphany, God reveals himself to the world. Meaning to say, Jesus revealed himself to the world that he is the Son of God. How can this be the case? Let me tell you. We speak about the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We speak about God being a triune God. And that triune God happened in front of John the Baptist at the Jordan River. When Jesus came to the Jordan River, John the Baptist saw him. And Jesus approached him and went into the water, walked into the water. Then John the Baptist saw him. And he knew, because it was told to him by revelation, that the man that comes to you, he is the one that baptizes by the Holy Spirit. How on earth did John the Baptist knew that this man was Jesus? Well, let's read John 1 from verse 29, just a few verses. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he who I have said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I do not know him, but that he who should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water." And John bore witness, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Awesome. No different to our discussion I had with Richard early on in one of our previous segments. Awesome. How God talks to us. Here it shows how God spoke to John the Baptist and to tell him, "Man, I will tell you that the one that's going to come is Jesus. And how are you going to know? The Spirit will remain on him." When John the Baptist saw it, he must have freaked out, because he told him very clearly, "I have need to baptize by you, and I'm not worthy even to hold your sandal straps." And Jesus said to him, "Let it be for righteousness' sake and to fulfill the prophecy, baptize me." And I want to say, Epiphany, Jesus at the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit descending, a dove, like a dove, on top of Jesus, and then the Father in heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That is a wonderful expression of Epiphany. And mind you, many people talk about Epiphany as though they have their own personal revelation. But the greatest Epiphany that we could ever have is to know that Jesus came for you and me. Jesus died for you and me. And Jesus prepared to have this wonderful relationship with you. Richard.
Yes, Father. Well, you pretty much said it. You pretty much took the words right out of my mouth. It's an epiphany to me is, it is the moment that I realized that that Jesus did die on the cross for me and for my sins. And, you know, and that he truly, I guess, truly exists. You know, growing up in the church and growing up with all the sermons and all the teachings and everything, you at one point, and I'm not saying this for everyone, but for me, at one point, I became dull to it. I became dull to all the teachings until there was one time where I was at a camp and it hit me. It just literally came to me that it's not all just talk. Something came over me and I just, it was like power, not power, but like it was just the just pure idea of it and the pure like understanding it and understanding that he really is real and like I'm understanding what he's gone through for us.
It's just like lifting up the box and you saw a beautiful present. God lifted yes. up, you know, the lid of your mind to see the revelation who Jesus is.
Yes, that's exactly right. I could not have word about
it. No. Don't embarrass me more than that, Richard. So, you know, this is the Feast of Epiphany. And my friend, a beautiful prayer that you and I may ask and Richard may ask and all of us can ask, Lord God, enlighten my darkness that I may able to see you, that may I have that relationship with you. Happy Feast Day of Epiphany. And on that note, we shall have a short break and come and talk about family love. Welcome back to Coptic Voice Radio. This is Father Shnud Mansour. Family love. What is family love? Loving your family. Loving your husband. Loving your wife. Loving your children. I guess the question is, what is meant to love your wife? What is meant to love your husband? Patience. Forgiveness, kindness, mercy, and the list is endless. How do we treat one another? When was the last time you told your wife that she was beautiful? When was the last time you told your husband, I'm proud of you? When was the last time you said to your children, honey, that is to your daughter, you're beautiful. When was the last time you told your family members that I love you? Having the aspect of family love is so, so important. Do I need to be always right? To the point that I become haughty and I become like Pharaoh in the household? Everyone bows to me? Where's humility? Where is the meekness? Where is the kindness? Where is the love that you need to express towards one another? Family love goes a long way. The world needs love. The world needs gentleness. The world needs kindness. The world does not need domestic violence. The world does not need constant disputes, but the ability that we're able to share our lives with one another. And the most beautiful way that we can share our life with one another is with our spouses and kindness. Richard, are your thoughts on this? As though Mary is listening on to.
Well, as I said before, Father, Mary is my strength, my patience, and my wisdom. In many situations where I'm just stuck fighting against my brother or fighting against my mom or anything like that, she, like, my own mind won't give me the chance to calm down and breathe. So she's that voice that gives me, like, she's the voice of reasoning. She tells me their point of view and explains to them my point of view. And so she's the mediator. She's the one that calms things down. So I'm very thankful for her. And I think it's a matter of, it has to be a matter of patience and calmness from all parties, from the mother, from the father, from the kids. Because if one person doesn't have that, if one person doesn't have that patience or understanding, then everyone kind of loses it. Everyone starts to just break, and just the patience runs out quickly, the understanding runs out quickly. And that's the sad reality of it. But it's a matter of, you have the family itself should be, you know, praying. But at the same time, each person should take time to themselves to be able to understand each other and calm down and, like, open their mind to listen, not just, as you said, be the pharaoh of the house. And so it's just a matter of working together and coming together and understanding each other and understanding each other's weaknesses and understanding each other's strengths and not pushing each other too much. So I would say to all families out there, have time for yourselves and understand each other.
And on that note, we shall continue our next segment on family love next week. And our next segment is on San Sylvester, the Pope of Rome.
Heaven and earth will fade, but his word.
On this day in the year 335 AD, Saint Sylvester, Pope of Rome, departed. He was born in Rome for his virtues, his ascetic life, and his knowledge. He was chosen for the pontificate of Rome in 314 AD. After the departure of his predecessor, Saint Miltiades, that was in the 11th year of Emperor Constantine's reign, less than a year after the issuing of the Edict of Milan, which granted freedom to the Christianity, he baptized Emperor Constantine, for he was not yet baptized. He was occupied with wars, demolishing pagan temples and building churches. The life of this father was a bright and shining life. He continued to teach the people and remove all doubts from them, explained to them that which was difficult to understand. He frequently debated with the heretics and converted many of them to believe in the Lord Christ and baptized them. He composed several discourses. He wrote several books about the knowledge of God and the mystery of the Incarnation. During the 7th year of his papacy, the Ecumenical Council of Nicaea convened and excommunicated Arius and all who supported him. When he completed his good cause, he departed in peace. He occupied the Roman chair for 11 years. His prayer with us, glory be God the Father forevermore. Amen. From the Philokalia, Saint Isaiah the Solitary, on the 27 texts. 1. There is among the passions an anger of the intellect, and this anger is accordance with nature. Without anger, a man cannot attain purity. He has to feel angry with all that is sown in him by the enemy. When Job felt this anger, he reviled his enemies, calling them dishonorable men of no repute, lacking everything good, whom I would not consider fit to live with the dogs that guard my flocks. He who wishes to acquire the anger that is in accordance with nature must uproot all self-will until he establishes within himself the state natural to the intellect. Now we're ready. 4. Did you know segment. Thank you. Did you know that God loves to talk to us? Did you know, listen to the voice of God takes practice? Did you know, spiritual planning and strategy is important for our spiritual health? Did you know, Epiphany means God reveals? Did you know it's important? Love your wife. Did you know? Love your husband. Did you know that God loves you? Did you know it takes practice to have sensitive ears and a sensitive heart to the Word of God? Do you know that God talks to you in many, many different ways? Do you know that God loves you immensely, that he gave his life for you?
And did you know that you've been listening to Coptic Voice Radio, a program proudly brought to you by the Coptic Orthodox Diocese of Sydney and its affiliated regions, and proudly sponsored by the Coptic Media Association Sydney. If you wish to write to us, you can do so at CopticVoiceRadio@gmail.com, or you can private message us on Facebook. You'll find us at facebook.com/Coptic Voice Radio. You can also download our podcast so that you can keep up to date and also listen to our previous shows. You'll find it at the podcast app for Apple and iPhone devices, the podcast app for BlackBerry devices, and an app called Stitcher for Android devices.
And we hope that you enjoy today's program titled God Talks to Us. And we look forward to, on the same time and the same day, and on Coptic Voice Radio, to join us next week for another program. Now it's time for us to say goodbye for another week. Signing out, this is Father Shun Mansour. Shall see you next week. And when have a GW, stands for a great weekend. When Monday comes, have a GW. As one young man told me, no, it's not a GW for a great weekend or a great week, but a BW stands for a blessed weekend and a blessed week. God bless. See you next week.
Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.